He was comfortable. The first hour of the morning was always his most comfortable time of the day. It wasn't that he was a morning person. He wasn't. And he was neither a day person nor an evening one, too. He simply appreciated his morning routine. At 6:30, with his full head of black wavy hair lightly greased back, dressed in black dress pants, white dress shirt, and a loose black tie flung over his shoulder, Mr. Rosen descended the stairs. Always in black and white, he didn't always dress the same. No, sometimes he might be wild and wear a short-sleeved white dress shirt. After the stairs, he made a 180-degree turn, passed the dining room to enter the kitchen, and after kissing and hugging his wife of 41 years, the two sat across from each other at the small but heavy oak table. He always sat in the same wooden chair, his chair of 28 years, with its right side of the seat badly scratched up from the small set of keys that for over the last 30 years he had habitually kept secure in his back pocket. Though the keys had changed over time, their scratching had continued, and by this time they'd carved out a shallow pocket of their own in the seat of his chair. Compared to Mr. Rosen's chair, his wife's was immaculate. Every morning it was polished by one of her many green nightgowns, some solid and others floral. This morning it was floral. She would neither change her clothes nor fix her disorderly medium-length white hair until after her husband had eaten and left for work. Until then, they listened to the news from the living room radio as they ate their breakfast of porridge and toast. While his wife stirred her porridge before taking a spoonful, Mr. Rosen mechanically dipped his spoon into the bowl, watching the level drop with each mouthful. Mrs. Rosen ate at her usual slow speed, but Mr. Rosen ate slowly out of boredom. He was satisfied with his breakfast, but that morning would have preferred bacon and eggs. It had been over a year since his wife had made that occasional breakfast, and only once since then had she offered him eggs without the bacon. He turned it down, since that would be like eating dry toast. He could eat bacon alone, but not eggs alone. Eggs need bacon, not the other way round. His wife's sudden anti-bacon position was the first sign, and 6 months later came the second. She decided that they would attend synagogue on the high holidays. Mrs. Rosen was transforming into a practicing Jew, and Mr. Rosen was expecting her soon to suggest that they attend weekly synagogue. Mr. Rosen said nothing about the change in his wife's religious attitude. Even though it worried him, he went along with it, just as he went along with everything else she had decided. He worried, not because he had no desire to be among a group of people and having to be always on his guard against someone's attempt to start a conversation before or after the service, but because of the reason or reasons for her change. He had heard of seniors who, after becoming bored and or lonely and or began fearing the closeness of death, turning or returning to religion. But he'd never expected the change in his wife, especially since he thought it was only for Christians. Finishing his porridge, Mr. Rosen put down his spoon, and with the white cloth napkin wiped his mouth and brushed his black chevron moustache that appeared to support his large hawk nose. With his habitual stone face and his refined British accent, the sort expected from a Cambridge graduate, he said, "Thank you, Ruthie. That was splendid."